I'd like to speak a little bit this morning from the book of Matthew, chapter 24. It's amazing to me that Jesus so correctly describes the climate that we are in today, that we live, the spiritual warfare that we are in here down at the end. Truly, the Father knows the end from the beginning. He sees into eternity. He sees as the world, as time is closing out, and He knows the conditions that we have to live this Christian life in. I'm so thankful that He does, and He describes it here in Matthew 24, beginning at verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." The recurring word in these verses is many. Just think about how many times it's said. "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." I'm interested this morning in being the people, being a part of the people that endure unto the end. I want the Lord, when He comes back, if we're still here when He comes back, or whenever your end is, there is an end to every one of us, an end to our life here on this planet. We are here for a very short time. If you would take your span of years and measure it against even the span of time that the planet has existed, it's just a really short time that we each have here. And we get to thinking and being so self-important, and it's really ludicrous, because we're just such a dot, such less than a piece of dust. And then when you look at that up to eternity, how little it is, what a short time it is. But there is an end, and He's wanting us this morning, describing to us the atmosphere and the climate in which we're living this life. That doesn't sound very promising. It says that there will be false Christ. Many will come in my name, saying, "I am Christ," and shall deceive many. Many shall be offended. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So this is what we're living. We're living in a time, it seems like to me sometimes, that in fighting a warfare, and I'm stumbling over dead bodies all the time, because there's so many that are falling. And so you just have to pick your way around the fallen to fight. And that's a really hard thing to do, but that's what we're doing in the fight today. But the Lord, He says here, "He that shall endure unto the end." I want to speak just a little bit about enduring a little this morning. There's going to be things that we're going to have to endure. I think about 1 Timothy chapter 2. Turn there for just a little bit. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy. And verse 3. He said, "Thou therefore endure hardness." And the word hardness, really, we would say it like this: endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're going to be a good soldier and be able to win and to endure unto the end. We're going to need to make it and put it in our mind to endure hardship, to just make it a part of our commitment, make it a part of our mindset to endure hardship. because we're going to have much hardship as Christians. Jesus said that there would be hardship that we would have to endure, afflictions that we would have to endure because of the Word. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 17. He talks about people who get real excited about, and like we are this morning, real excited about all this. And we see the sweet spirit and we love that and we appreciate that so much. But then whenever we get to a point where the same teachings is a little rough, is a little hard, the same people, it's a little hard to the flesh, that's where our endurance is tested. And he said here in chapter 4 of Mark, he talks about the seed that was sown onto ground that had a lot of stones in it, and so the earth didn't have much depth. It hadn't been furrowed, it hadn't been plowed up, and the stones cast out of it. And so when the seed landed on this little bit of depth, it sprang up really quickly, but then that little bit of earth was, it dried so fast in the burning heat. It dried so fast that the little plant that had just started dried up. And so it never became a real good tall plant and was never able to grow up and to bear fruit. And that's the way it is sometimes with us people. We hear this, it sounds really, really good. This is what I want. This is what I'm looking for. And so we endure, it says in verse 17, they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. But afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And I would like to encourage each of you this morning that are so excited about what we've found. This is the end is what we're working for. The end is what we want to press toward. We want to keep this joy and excitement always. And it is something, the joy that the Lord has given to us is an enduring joy. It's an everlasting joy. We want to keep it, and whatever the Lord chooses to send our way, to just say, bless the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord is good to us. And even though there's things that we endure because of the word's sake, don't be offended. But just gather those stones out of your life. When the root hits a stony place in your heart, a place where you've said, I'll never do that. I'll never go that far. I won't ever be that religious. If the word hits you in a place like that, just gather out that stone and get rid of it, so that your desire for God can just keep on growing, and your plant, the word that's germinated in your life, can just keep on taking root, so that there will be fruit beginning to come out in your life. Another thing that we'll probably have to endure is a little bit of teaching and instruction. Over in the book of Titus, Second Timothy chapter 4. He talks about a time, probably the same time that we're living in, where there will be many deceivers and many people will be deceived, and the love of many shall wax cold. Well, here he said in verse 3, the time will come or they will not endure sound doctrine. Sometimes this word that is so exciting to us, we must listen to it with some endurance. Endure some of the teaching that's a little bit unexciting, a little bit boring, so to speak. Some of the teaching, I'll tell you something that I found about the word. The word is like a puzzle. And many times in my life, there will be a puzzle piece that doesn't seem to fit. And maybe one person will bring that particular part of the word out in their message. And you're kind of going, what? And then another person will have another piece and it'll fit together with the other piece. Or even in your own private worship, you'll come up to something and you'll say, Lord, what does this mean? I don't understand this. if you begin really praying and seeking, there's a lot of the meanings of this scripture that is so exciting that's under the surface. And it takes some digging and some enduring, if you will. Endure just a little bit of not knowing and not understanding right away. Endure that. Persevere through that. Keep living for God through those times where you're a little confused. Don't give up everything when you don't understand it. But endure through that. Endure sound doctrine when you don't seem to connect with the teacher. Endure and look through all of that to the Word and the Spirit behind it. And the connect, you know, the Lord is going to give a connection to you somewhere in your mind and in your heart. And after a while, it is going to click and it's going to make sense. And you'll be able to say, oh, so that's what that means. Oh, that really makes sense. I want to bring out a scripture that David said in Psalms 119. This fits right along in here. Psalm 119 in verse 33. He says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Now, it's not just sound doctrine that we're listening to, but we're listening for the way of those statutes. If you and I just content ourselves with just rote, with just the teaching, and not ask the Lord, show me the way of your statutes, you won't endure. But when you pray and say, Lord, teach me the way of your statutes, just like, just anything. When you, I cook, okay, so, you know, I don't work on cars, so I cook, and I'm going to talk to you about cooking. When you understand the connection between, say, yeast and salt and sugar, you know that you can kill yeast with too hot a water, or you can slow it down with too much salt, or you can make it puff way up with a lot of sugar, and things like that. When you understand the way, the science of cooking, when you understand the mechanics of it, you don't even have to have a recipe book, because you can think to yourself, I know that if I need just a little rise to this cornbread, or maybe just a little sharpness added to it, I can add a little buttermilk and a little baking soda, and just gives the right little lift and little zip there. You begin to understand the way. You understand this? When the Lord teaches you the way of His statutes, then you begin to love it, and you'll be able to keep it unto the end. Nothing can trip you up. Remember, another one he said, Psalm 119, 163, one of my favorite verses, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing will make them stumble. Nothing shall offend them. When you understand the way of His statutes, it begins to make so much sense to you, and you're able to endure the hardship of living it out sometimes. It's not so easy. It's not so exciting. There's some enduring, but you can do it. It just helps so much to pray that prayer, Lord, teach me the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Sometimes in our living for the Lord, we come into places kind of like David in Psalm 73, where he said, I almost slipped because I looked out at the way of the wicked, and I got to thinking that they just had it so much better than we do. And I began to be envious of the wicked. But he said, he talked about that his vision of how the wicked died. It kind of got a little distorted, and he didn't see any trouble in their life when they died. But notice this in verse 17, until I went into into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Okay, when we get the end of things kind of confused in our minds, we won't endure what we're having to endure as well. We think that the end of the wicked is going to be, well, pretty good. I mean, it looks like they're pretty happy. Then our end doesn't look as good to us, and so we won't be able to endure. But he said, I understood their end, and he said, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou casted them down into destruction. They're brought into desolation, as in a moment they're utterly consumed with terrors. He didn't see that while he was being envious of them. He didn't see that when his heart was just a little bit wanting to go live like the world. He didn't see that. But when he went into the sanctuary, then he could understand that. And that's how it's going to be with you. If you get to kind of looking over the fence and just thinking, oh man, it just seems like, you know, they don't have to do all this and they don't have to be this way and they don't have to be this careful, and you just kind of begin to envy the wicked, don't give up right there. Endure that time. Endure and persevere and go into the presence of God. When you get into the presence of God and begin to really worship and fall before Him and just stay in His presence, He will show you their end. And it'll help you and I to endure unto the end. A scripture that goes right along with that is Proverbs 23 and 17. Listen to this one. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, for surely there is an end. What he says here, surely there is an end. There's a reward to the wicked. There's a reward to the saints. Thy expectation shall not be cut off. Another thing that we may have to endure in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. He said, call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that are so used. Sometimes it's because we're just a part of the people that are being persecuted that will endure some of this. And sometimes it'll personally come to us. But he said, remember that after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Thinking about a scene in the Pilgrim's Progress where a man... They came across a man one day who had a sword in his hand, and it was all bloody from down his arm, and he had been in a fight. And they said, who are you? And he said, I am one valiant for truth. And they came across, they said, who battered you up so bad? And he said, I met three fellas. What were their names? Can you remember their names? I can't remember their names, but it sounded like some of the folks that hang around today.
Wildhead.
Wildhead and Inconsiderate. I remember one of them. Anyway, he met these three fellas, and they told him three things. They said, you either cast your lot in and come with us, or go back where you came from, or die on the spot. And he answered all of them, and he said, as to go with you all, he said, he didn't want to do that. He said, I don't want to go back to where I came from. And he said, as for the third, it's at your peril if you meddle with me. And so he said, and my hand clave to the sword, and I fought until I couldn't hardly tell sword from hand, and the blood ran down his hand. That was a man who endured a great fight of afflictions. Well, also in Hebrews 11, we find here that Moses, he endured and the reason why he endured. In verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. If you and I can get a vision of God, you get a vision, ask God today, Lord, show me who you are. Let me see a vision of you. You're invisible, but I want to see you and see your face. The Lord can show you something that's invisible, and you'll be able to endure anything that comes against you. What all did Moses have to endure? He endured these people that he gave his life for. He endured some of the afflictions that the people of God, he endured some stuff with them. They would come against him. They would get jealous of him. They would not do what he said. They would murmur 10 times. There was a murmuring where God had to send judgment on him. Moses was kind of he was the intermediate between God and these people. Many times he would say, God would say, I'm going to destroy them and wipe them out. And Moses would say, no, no, don't do that. One time he said, Lord, destroy them and wipe them out. And God said, no, no, Moses. So it was just like Moses, as a type of Christ, took the reproaches of those that reproached God. He took that on him. What a thing to endure. Sometimes we'll have to take that too. The anger that people have against God be inflicted on us, and we'll have to endure that. Sometimes the people that we're trying to lead and help, we're going to have some trials and tribulations with them. And we'll think, these are supposed to be God's people. What in the world are they acting this way for? And why do they have this kind of attitude? But if we can just endure because you see God. We don't look at the people. The people is not why that's not why we're going to heaven. It's God that we endure things because we see the one that's invisible. Jesus also endured in chapter 12. He endured, why? For the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. Don't you see something wonderful come out of the Word of God this morning? Reasons and why we can endure. Teaching us his way of his statutes. Seeing him who is invisible. And now here's something precious. The joy. Who for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. You know, there would be something very powerful to make a man endure a cross. Joy is that powerful. The joy of seeing souls saved, of you and me getting saved, it caused Christ to endure his cross. And when you and I must go to our crosses daily, moment by moment, sometimes, the Lord will give you the joy to endure. He'll give it to you moment by moment. You don't have joy for tomorrow's cross. But tomorrow, when it is today, you'll have the strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And so whatever today has in it, there's just enough for today of the hardships that I have to face. There's not one too many. It's not too hard for me. The Lord will give me the joy, which is my strength. I found it so. Another thing that the Lord gives us to endure, help us to endure, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 4, charity suffers long. And verse 7, charity bears all things. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is charity, divine love. We all are looking, asking the Lord to help us to endure, and look at what all he has given us to help us to endure what we have to endure. Love endures all things. You know, I found this to be true. Sometimes service to others is just a time of enduring, tending to someone who is sick. It's having to deal with pain all the time, having to deal with them not being able to do things, and just serving it, cooking and cleaning and just denying what you want to do. Your time is spent doing this. It's a time of enduring. But you know what makes that? It's love. Love makes all that possible. Love makes all that easier. It's not always just hunky-dory, some people say. But it can be easier with the Lord's love in your heart to serve and to bend and to give and to meet out, to give out day after day after day. It's love. Love is what causes us to endure. Also, this morning I want to point you to Luke 21. This is kind of the Luke's rendition of what we read in Matthew 24. And Luke says it like this, Luke 21 and 19. In your patience, possess ye your souls. This matter of enduring, this matter of persevering, how important is it? Your soul's at stake. That's where you're going to save your soul, is enduring unto the end. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this says, in your patience, possess ye your souls. This word patience means constancy or perseverance in sustaining afflictions. The word possess means to preserve or keep. So by persevering, you will preserve or keep your soul. I think about how I want to encourage anyone here this morning who has just made a decision to serve God. And it's wonderful while you're here and you have positive peer pressure. That's good. That's wonderful. I appreciated that as a young person. And as a mother and as a wife, to have people around me to saying, yeah, that's the way to do it. Yeah. But what if when you get out by yourself and you're back with the real world, there will be the time then where you're going to need to endure. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up in October and think, next monarch, I'll go back and I'll renew my walk with the Lord. Don't give up. Go run to Jesus. Run to Jesus and pray and keep praying. And you may go through a time where you don't understand for several weeks what's going on and what I'm supposed to do here and where I'm supposed to go and who I'm supposed to please or who I'm supposed to follow. And just keep going. Just keep loving the Lord. It will come clear to you. It will get better. There are times in our lives where we just think, is this what the salvation is about? This is really hard. I know, I've been there. And you just think, all right, just forget it. If I'm going to be this miserable living for God, forget it. And I understand how people, young people, can reach that place. There are different places in your life, and it's not even just young people. There's times where we older ones, we hit those places too. Is the faithfulness, is the hard labor, is it worth it? When the enemy comes with thoughts like that, don't give up. Just seek further, seek more, seek deeper. Because the deeper you grow in it, the more sense it'll make to you. He'll reveal to you the way of His statutes. He'll begin to deepen love and commitment in your life. You say, well, it's not supposed to be that way. I mean, this salvation is supposed to be fun and exciting all the time. People look at it that way, and then they give up in time of the enduring. They do the same with marriage. There are enduring times in marriage where you go through times where you're working at it, where you're trying to understand one another, and you're not making it. You're not understanding. There's some places that are a little rough, but if you can endure and you keep working at it, and you keep loving, and you keep committing, the joy will return, and the Lord will begin to bless, and there will be old love is sweeter than new love. The enduring quality of love will begin to manifest itself to you, and you'll say, this is better than when we first got married. I'm so glad I stuck with this and didn't jump ship. Now, this kind of love, this is a secure, this is just a comfortable love. We've come through the jostling times, and now we're comfortable with each other. And we know each other so well. And I just love Him. And He just constantly has won my heart. All these years, He's just done this. And God has melted us together. Well, that's just the way it is with living for the Lord, too. Experience causes you to have hope for every situation then that comes your way. You think, well, I made it through that. And so experience gives hope. But what makes experience? Tribulation works patience, works experience. So in order for us to have the experience that's sound and solid and hopeful and cheerful, we must have gone through the tribulation, which caused us to have endurance, which now brings us into a wonderful experience. So many of us want the experience first. But the Lord wants you to go through some tribulation first. You know what tribulation means? It means pressure. Like an iron, it means heat and pressure applied to iron out the wrinkles. We must endure the tribulation. Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to think about just a little bit about what it's going to mean when you and I have endured unto the end. Just think about it. Let's think about it if it's your end. When you, we don't know how it'll be our end. But what are some of the songs that we rejoice at? Just one glimpse of Him in glory. Will the toils of life repay? What's another? We sang it last night. Sister Breezy sang it. Yes, farther along. That last verse, when we see Jesus coming in glory, think about that moment. Think about how glad you will be that you loved Him unto the end, that you endured, that you held on. If today this roof would lift off of here and things would begin to melt away, and you would see Jesus, and you would feel yourself lift. Lift off this ground. And your heart would be totally in love with Him and ready to meet Him. And you would be, and there would be an angel chorus. And you would be singing with it. And there would be this wonderful, majestic train entering into the gates of heaven. And you'd hear a voice saying, open up, ye gates of glory, and the King of glory shall come in. And here would come the King of Glory and all of us after him. This wonderful train of saints of God. We need to think about this more often because it's coming. It's closer and closer and closer. How wonderful it will be to see him in peace. Oh, to just love him to the end. To love him until your love and your faith is lost in sight. And you're just raising up to meet him. Yes. Worship at his blessed feet. Yes. By his great love. Oh, to have that enduring unto the end. What are some of the other songs? Heaven will surely be worth it all. It will matter but little at last what we have gone through. When the shades of the sunset, when the valley at sunset we view, whether small or unknown or king on his throne, it will matter but little at last. Think about the end. Surely there is an end.